This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
And what a day we will have here on 670 The Score. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 5 a.m. But all day long, we're going to be taking care of your Bears' needs. Olin Krutz jumping on with Mullion Haw at 7. Of course, Dustin Rhodes getting the whole thing started. By the way, I got my puffy jacket. Did you see it? I'm doing my best Dustin Rhodes today. I hope he sees it when he comes in. You see it? My little puffy jacket?
You got the vest.
The vest. That's a puffy vest. And Dustin is known for his vests, and he'll be on at 5 o'clock.
He should be proud.
He should be proud. I was inspired by him today. Usually I wear socks gear to get him pissed off. But today I'm on his team. I'm wearing the puffy vest. But he's going to start at 5 o'clock. Pre-game show. Going to get you all up to date with everything that happened, all your stats. Then Olin Krutz, the guy. Every week he puts out, he's like, enjoy this one. A tweet. And it's like some offensive lineman crushing somebody. So Olin Krutz will be on at 7. DJ Moore at 8. 2 touchdowns, over 100 yards. Stop it. DJ Moore, the man himself, 8 o'clock, Mullion Haw. Make sure you're here for it. Brad Biggs jumps on at 9 with Mullion Haw. Bernstein and Harris, the new duo. They got Anthony Heron and Dan Weeder at 11 and 12. Then Spiegel and Holmes come on. They got a star-studded lineup. Kurt Warner at 3. Jalen Johnson, the invisible man. And I say that as a compliment, by the way. Mark Grody at 5. And then TJ Edwards. He made a great stop in that first drive. He'll be on with Bernstein and Harris Tuesday at noon. Make sure you're here for that. Taking your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Do you think this Bears team is going to make the playoffs? I mentioned that as where they're at currently is 3-2 in the sixth spot. They could face the Jaguars on Sunday in London, get a bye week, then they face the Commanders. 6 out of the last 8 games are against divisional opponents. But again, what we cannot account for is the continued growth of Caleb Williams. We can try to anticipate it, but you can't really say, oh, well, every week he's just going to be, 27 for 29 for 350, 3 touchdowns. He's not just going to keep getting better. So what is that? And is that enough to get the Bears into the playoffs? Let's go out to the phone lines. We got Phil out in St. Charles. Phil, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Great. Great to talk to you again, man. Which team are we talking about, the Bears or the Packers?
We're talking about the Bears. I've been watching them since the 85 Super Bowl that they won with Jim McMahon. I'm 67. I hope nobody was excited about today's win. I mean, we beat a high school team. The Bears won 2 games thanks to their defense. Yeah. They got some great receivers, and they got Swift, and they got this new kid. But what are we going to do when we play a real team?
But I guess, mean, Phil, wait. Let's stop there for a second, right? Because what you're saying, or what I'm hearing you say, is that you are holding the Bears accountable to a Super Bowl level team in the present. You want them, like you're saying, they're not there yet. But I don't think anybody's saying that that's where they're at. So I don't know if we should be comparing them to that in the present, because no one feels as though they are that team. You mentioned them beating a high school team, but I've seen the Bears struggle against bad teams. So the fact that they're able to do what a Kansas City Chiefs team would do or a Texans team would do to the Carolina Panthers, that lets me know that they operate and they hover in that stratosphere with them.
Here's what I want to see, and I'll hear your comments. I watch everything. I watch every game. I want to see you go to Buffalo and beat the Bills at home. I want to see you beat the Seahawks in their stadium. I want to see you beat the Cowboys. I want to see you beat somebody. I want to see you beat the Chiefs. I want to see you beat the Packers. But let's not get excited about today, okay?
Okay, but wait, hold on, Phil. Let me stop you there again. But that takes me back to my point. Do you want to see that this year? Like, are you putting that pressure on them this year? Or are you saying in the years to come, I want them to be that, right? Because I think that's where they're headed. I don't think anyone thinks that they are better than the Chiefs or that they can beat them consistently, but I think they are headed in that direction. So I hear what you're saying, right, that they beat a Panthers team. They're not there yet. I understand that. But to put the pressure on them to be there now, I think is a mistake.
Well, how much time do you need? I've seen Patrick Mahomes destroy everybody real quick. You know, we knew Justin Fields was no good. He proved that today. What I'm trying to say is, if the Cubs would have made the playoffs, they would have gone nowhere because of the pitching. They got no pitching. It takes a special talent to win Super Bowls and to be good.
Agreed.
You beat the Panthers? I can beat the Panthers. I mean, you might lose to the Jaguars in Longwood,
you're right.
London. And then, I mean, come on, let's not get a 3-2 big deal.
All right, tell me what's the worst part of this team. Tell me what's the worst part of this team, then.
The worst part of this team is they're good. They're exciting to watch, but they can't beat quality teams.
I know, but tell me the part. Wait, but tell me the part of the team that makes them deficient enough to not compete with those teams. Tell me the part that's not working for you.
I'll tell you the part. If you get a guy like Kirk Cousins, he will destroy the secondary with nonstop completed passes for 10 or 15 yards and destroy the Bears. The Bears' defense gets lucky because they get a couple of turnovers. Caleb's running around with a chicken like his head cut off, and he gets lucky, caught DJ Moore. But against who? You're not beating nobody unless you beat somebody. Beat somebody.
All right. Thanks for the call, Phil. 312. Oh, I don't want to cut him off right there, Tyler. I got you. If you want to respond to Phil, I would love for you to do so. 312-644-6767. I hope you heard me when I was talking to Phil and saying, because I know there are people that feel like, oh, they beat the Panthers. Yeah, but damn, how many times have you seen the Bears go up against bad teams and them not come through in those instances? So it feels good that they're actually doing what a good team is supposed to do to a bad team. It feels great. Yes. And Phil, it's hard for you to make a case that the defense is bad when you're talking about the turnovers that they created. 4 fumbles on the day, 2 interceptions, or an interception. That's what you should do. That's great. What do you mean? What's the defense supposed to do? Can't get 5 interceptions and 10 fumbles. But I hear your point, Phil, in that you do want them to be good teams. You want the Bears to be at that level. I just think you can't put the pressure on them to be that now. Did they beat the Panthers? Sure. But damn, you want them winning the Super Bowl? That's what you're telling me. You want them to win the Super Bowl this year. Oh, but they're not beating the top teams. But yeah, I don't think the Bears are necessarily there yet. Can they compete with the top teams? Sure. Can they beat them consistently? I think that's something that needs to be seen. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Chris, out in Moline. What's going on, man? Good to talk to you.
Hey, what's up, Gabe? Hey, thanks for having me on. Hey, so first of all, I have another point, but I do want to address what Phil was saying here. I understand, you know, like, you know, you want to beat these better teams whenever, but we can only play who is in front of us.
That's a good one.
I mean, obviously you have to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's like a hallmark of a good team. You beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. The Panthers aren't a good team. I get it. But they can only play who is in front of them. That's the game. They win it. Like, and that's what you do. You go on to the next week. But what I wanted to talk about was the play earlier. I don't know. A lot of people saw it on Twitter. I'm not going to, like, say it out loud, but I don't know if we heard the hot mic during the game where Caleb's calling a protection, and then you hear Coleman Shelton. We have effing fire or whatever. But the reason I want to bring that up was I thought it was really telling because you hear after Coleman says that, you hear Caleb being like, I know. So I just felt like it's something important just because you can kind of see his growth right there where he was able to recognize his blitz. Like, I don't know if it was, you know, Caleb's trying to change the play and Coleman's pointing it out like, hey, there's a blitz, you know, or whatever, just to make sure or whatever. But I just thought it like really, I thought it was kind of telling, even though like a small moment. And yeah, it's something funny that I'm sure we all heard on TV. And kind of like,
but wait, Chris, are you saying it like You think Caleb knew and was like, Coleman, shut up, I know? Or do you think he's saying, like, I know now that you've pointed it out?
I think the way I took it was that he knew what it was, and he's basically confirming, I know there's a blitz coming, basically. Not that he was, like, checking him. He's like, Coleman's looking out for him. You know, he's calling his protection. He's changing the play, whatever.
Right.
And when he says that, you just hear Caleb kind of, like, confirm, yeah, I know, you know. And then they kind of go for the play. I think he hits, like, Odunze on, like, an out play, like a pretty nice out pass or whatever. But I don't know. Like I said, it might be something minor, but it was something that kind of impressed me, even though it was kind of like a funny little moment during the game. But, yeah, that's what I was calling
it. Well, that and also, Chris, the relationship between the two, right? You want those two guys to talk to each other just like that. Like, that lets me know you guys are cool with each other because you're not offended by what he says. Coleman feels like he can talk however he wants to Caleb because they're, you know, in a tandem right there. So to me, that is good. And I think, you know, you're talking about adversity, right, as a whole for the Chicago Bears team. They dealt with it in the first quarter, right, with the Bears on the three and out, you know, Chuba Hubbard getting the touchdown early. In your mind, has this team shown that ability to you to adjust to that adversity as the season progresses?
I think, yeah, as the game has gone on, yes, it really seems like that. Because the one thing I've noticed, because, like, unlike the years in the past where it used to seem like years ago, you know, like how a few years ago, they'd make no adjustments at all to the things that were happening. But I think that they've gotten a lot better with that this year. The time management thing, I think, is always, like, has been kind of a problem. But it seems like the last game, you know, like, they've kind of, like, I think they've taken note and got a little better because, as we all know, Eberflus wasting timeouts on dumb things. And yeah.
And, you know, I got to say, Caleb Williams, just, you know, you mentioned the connection with Rome Odunze, but he had a bunch of those with a lot of different receivers. In weeks 1 through 4, Chris, he was 5 for 29 with 3 interceptions on passes of at least 15 yards. Today, 4 for 4, buck away with 2 tutties on the deep passes. What do you think is different? Because we saw it in the beginning of the season, right? Missing guys deep. Coach Eberflus was saying he's throwing it to a zero position where no one can catch it. That's why he was missing guys further down. But it seems, though, he's turned the corner. Do you think it's just because of comfort?
I mean, obviously, he even said it himself. It's about him getting more, how do you say that, press conference? I'm getting more comfy in there and whatever. But I think it's apparent because, I mean, you can see every single week he's gotten better and better and better. And I just think that, you know, it's a good thing that we're able to see him growing where it's not like there's not that huge question mark around him, like, what's going to, you know, is this or this happening? We're literally watching him grow as a quarterback every single week. And I think it's so awesome.
It's the coolest thing to see because we believe it. He believes it. We didn't necessarily see it in the beginning, but week in and week out, you're just like, wow, this is a professional quarterback. Oh, man, he's doing what he's saying he wants to do. When he throws 2 interceptions, he says, that's unlike me. I don't do that. Then the next 2 games, no interceptions. I mean, that is called growth. You see the dump offs to DeAndre Swift, the check downs to these guys, allowing his playmakers to be special. And to me, that's the best thing because I think when you're in college, specifically Caleb Williams, his last year at USC where Jordan Addison leaves, he doesn't have a first round, you know, wide receiver, the offensive line is not the greatest, so the team's on his back. But then you get to the NFL, right, Chris? And you're playing with star players. When you throw the ball, it's going to someone that's that good, and I think that's what he's understanding right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure, and you can see that too because, like what we were saying, he's starting to trust people more and more. He's learning things. Yeah, they had some miscommunications, whatever, like with like certain routes or whatever, where he's thinking they're going to zig when they're going to zag. But you kind of see like as the game, like it's happening less and less. I think he had one. There's like one play, but I don't even know what the situation was. It was a little earlier in the game today. But I mean, think about it. The first week, second week, he had a few plays where, you know, a guy's like running it out when he thinks they're you know, like running deep or whatever. But I think we've seen less and less of that. I think that's kind of indicative as well of like how he's growing and how he's like, knowing when to hit his guys. And yeah.
Let me ask you this last one before I let you go, Chris. I've been struggling with the Bears and their inability to define their offense, right? And what their identity is. Do you feel like they depend on Caleb Williams too much? Today accounting for 338, 304 on the air. Then he had 30 something on the ground. Do you think that they're leaning on him too much for a rookie QB, and could this lack of balance, do you think it's going to lead to issues later on in the season?
I mean, thinking about it, I think that I think it's going, like, because I was saying to my friend earlier when we were watching the game, I'm like, this is more of the game, because I feel like, yeah, and it felt like the first couple weeks where they had him, like, throw the ball, like, was in the Indy game, he threw the ball, like, 50 times.
53.
But I 53 times, I mean, but I think that at times it seemed like they did, but I think they're starting to settle in now that they're kind of getting the run game going a lot more. Because I thought for this game, it's like, you didn't need him to play hero ball. You didn't need him to do any of that. Like, he just had to go out there and just perform. Like, the run game is backing him up. But, I don't want to say that they're depending on him too much, but I think that they're kind of finding their flow with him is the best way I could say.
Yeah, and as long as DeAndre Swift keeps performing at a high level, then the Bears will be able to lean on that as well. Chris, appreciate the call, man. Whenever I'm on, please call in. Love to talk to you again. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670. The score, Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 36-10. Caleb Williams had himself a day. 20 for 29, 304 yards, had two touchdowns, both to DJ Moore. DJ Moore had himself a day. He'll be on at 8 a.m. in just under 6 hours with Mully and Hall. Got to make sure you're here for that. I wonder what he has to say about it. He was lively at the podium with his daughters. Got the cutest kids. DJ Moore, 5 catches. Buck 05, 2 touchdowns, targeted 8 times. Spread the ball around. 6 guys got it. Cole Kmet, 3 catches. DeAndre Swift had that one long one that set him up for his touchdown. Roma Dunze, 5 catches, 40 yards. Just sure hands. 5 catches on 6 targets. I told you guys, the hands are good, man. Keenan Allen, 6 targets. 3 catches for 33 yards, and then Gerald Everett finally got his name called. 2 catches, 22 yards. It was great. What about Tyson Bagent coming in at the very end just to do the kneel downs? Caleb Williams didn't want to take a knock on his rushing yards, Tyler. Is that what happened?
We were kind of questioning that, too. Like, why wasn't exactly Williams allowed to do
Tyson Bagent has three. Tyson Bagent now has 3 rushes for -4 yards.
Oh, boy.
That's why. That's the real reason why. But I wonder how that conversation goes. This coach Eberflus tap Caleb on the shoulder and say, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to send Tyson in. Or does Caleb Williams tap Eberflus and say, hey, I don't want those -4 yards. Go ahead and send Bajan in. That's interesting. I hope somebody asks him that. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Taking your calls. We're live and local right here on 670. The score, Wes, out in the North Burbs. You want to respond to Phil. I thought he was too harsh. What did you think?
I agree. He's a little too harsh. I think you gotta use these games as tune-ups, and there's nothing better than a banged-up defense to develop connections. You saw 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks for DJ Moore. I think we all thought they were not on the same page the first, 3 weeks of the season, and, you got to use these to develop the connections that you need to be better. And I think the expectations are these 5 games, the Bears should win 3. If they win 4, great.
Yes.
But if they can go, 3-2, this is what you do to get better before you hit that hard part of the schedule. And you got 6 division games, but you can play 5, mediocre teams and use that to tune your team up and develop connections and be able to build that confidence level. I mean, even Caleb said it today that, he felt better than he had ever felt. He was confident. He could make every tight window throw that was necessary.
And it was great to see.
And I
think when you're talking even about the coaching staff, right? I mean, like in your mind, Wes, how much credit does Coach Eberflus deserve for today's performance, right? Like, do you feel like his play calling and the game management, do you feel like that part's improved? Or were there still moments that raised questions for you?
Well, I think the development of Caleb and allowing him to audible out of certain things and giving him a set plays that he can go to where you're not calling every play for him. You're allowing him to make a couple decisions. And especially in a game where you're well ahead, you can kind of give him the reins and see what his strengths are. And when it comes down to crunch time, maybe, in a 2-minute drill, you let him call his plays. There's nothing better than seeing them work on the little things, and especially trying to run the ball, because the offensive line hasn't given them a whole lot to run behind, and trying to figure out how you can use Swift and Roshan effectively, to help. Sometimes you have to use the pass to open up the run. Sometimes you have to use the run to open up the pass. But what kind of team are we? You know, it looks like pass first.
That hurts my soul when I hear that, because I've been struggling with that, with the identity of the Chicago Bears. I don't want them to be a pass-first team. I want them to be a team that can pass, right? I want them to manage the clock, grind out these games, and put a lot of pressure on opposing offenses to put points on the board, because then that's when they're going to make mistakes. Wes, I want to go through a couple of the upcoming games and just get your opinion on something.
So yeah.
You got Jacksonville next week in London. You get the bye week. Then you go Washington, Arizona, New England. Okay, that's the next four games for the Chicago Bears. That puts you into mid-November. But after that, you mentioned the six out of the eight games that are going to be against divisional foes. Every team, as I mentioned a second ago, is above 500 in the NFC North. Included in those eight games, you face Seattle, that's above 500. And you also face a San Francisco team who, at the present, is the only team under 500 after a heartbreaking loss to Arizona today. But essentially, the last eight games of the season are against teams above 500. It's a gauntlet. But as you mentioned, you got to find different scripts to win different games. How important are the next four games, the ones that I mentioned, Jacksonville, Washington, Arizona, New England, in order to build that confidence and find out that identity to lead you into those last eight?
Well, I think it's the most important. These are the most important four games of the season, other than obviously we got to take one from each divisional opponent. But you don't get any better than when you're playing teams that you can beat or should beat. You use that to fine-tune the little things so that when your back's against the wall, you're down by 10 points, it's coming into the fourth quarter, but you've got these tricks up your sleeve because you worked on them for 5 weeks in a row.
Talk to me about the opportunity for you to – or excuse me, talk about this Bears team. And I asked Phil this, so I want to ask you, you know, as you get out here, I said, well, what do you feel like is the area of the Bears squad that needs the most improvement? What is that for you, Wes?
Well, I mean, I think most people would say it's the offensive line, and I would agree with that. I think it's also not micromanaging play calls and allowing, you know, your guy to use his strengths, which is, you know, being out of the gun, you know, being able to move around the pocket. You know, the one thing I see in Caleb that Justin didn't have was Justin runs backwards. Caleb runs in circles. Mm. He uses his blockers to create more time for himself so he doesn't have some dude chasing him all the time.
He's not trying to escape the pocket that way. I totally understand.
No, he loves to stand in that pocket and move forward and backwards and forwards and backwards, and sometimes he's got to take that, you know, that bootleg out to be able to throw on his strong side. But it's about making good decisions. And, you know, 2 weeks of turnover-free football, If you can get another week out of that in London, oh, my goodness.
I'll take it, man. Wes, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. Text lines are open. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, leading you all the way to 5 o'clock. You heard Wes mention, you know, Justin Fields and what he likes to do to get out of the pocket. Tough game for him today. Pittsburgh loses to Dallas on a last-second touchdown. Dak Prescott drives the team all the way down, gets the dub with 26 seconds left, gets the game-winning touchdown. And Justin Fields, I mean, I was talking to Kate Constable, as I mentioned, on Saturday, Better Angle, on the BetQL Network. And when we were talking about this game, Pittsburgh was a 2.5-point favorite. And I just said, hey, man, 10 possessions for the Steelers, 10 possessions for the Cowboys. I don't care how good their defense is. Dak Prescott's going to put up at least 20, and Justin Fields has yet to do that. So, tough game for him. Justin Fields, 15 for 27, buck 31. No interceptions. QB rating of 93. Had two touchdowns. One to Connor Hayward, one to Pat Freiermuth a little bit earlier. Six rushes for 27 yards for Justin Fields. The run game for the Steelers is just non-existent. Najee Harris, over the last couple of seasons, really been an issue for that squad. 14 rushes, 42 yards for him. But Dak Prescott, on the day. That's why you pay him the money. 29 for 42, 352, two touchdowns. Listen, he's a gunslinger, so he's going to get some interceptions. The issue is he can throw the ball freely because he knows that the Steelers weren't going to put up any points as a result of it. But big victory for the Cowboys. They needed that one on the day, and the Bears needed theirs as well to continue that pace going. And we're going to continue the pace all day long here on 670 The Score. As mentioned, it is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Oh, 5 o'clock, which is just, you know, 2.5 hours away. Dustin Rhodes, who I am honoring today with my bubble vest, comes on at 5 o'clock for the pregame show. Mullion Hall right after that. They got Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore, who's responsible for 2 of the touchdowns for Caleb Williams today, he'll be on at 8 to talk about his big day and what he saw on the field. Brad Biggs is going to be on at 9 with Mullion Hall. Then Bernstein and Harris, who Bernstein put out a nice tweet about DJ Moore and sitting on the sidelines solo after his touchdown. He's like, listen, you idiots. He didn't say that, but he's like, look, even after a touchdown, this is what he does. You know, don't try to change the narrative there. But Bernstein and Harris, they'll have Anthony Heron at 11. They'll have Dan Weeder at 12. Kurt Warner, Jalen Johnson, Mark Grody hanging out with Spiegel and Holmes at 3, 4, and 5, respectively. Make sure you're here for it. It's going to be a great day here on 670 The Score, covering all topics, the ins and outs, what this game truly means for the Chicago Bears team as they look to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in London on Sunday, 8:30 a.m. game. I'll be riding around the city at 8:30 a.m. I'll be covering the marathon here on 670 The Score. So I'll be doing that. It's going to be a fun time, one of my favorite events in the entire city. So I'll be there, but I'll have some updates on my phone. I have my phone out. I have my phone ready to go. All right, but I want you to have your phone ready to go right now. 312-644-6767. I want to take your phone calls on this Bears team. You feel good after that victory. Bears did what they were supposed to do. Beat a bad team handily. Does that give you enough confidence to say that the Bears are going to make the playoffs? 312-644-6767. Your calls, a little bit of Eberflus on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
I loved hearing that song all day today at Soldier Field. I was there, man. Shout out to my guy, Sceneway. They got me some tickets. Miguel Lemus from the Bears. So I pull up. There's a guy named Chase Gasper that plays for... He's not listening right now. That's why I can tell the story. He plays for the Fire. And the Fire threw an all-white party a couple of months ago. Invited a bunch of people out. And I'm talking to this guy. He's, you know, 6'1". Seems real personable. We're having this conversation. And like an idiot, I look him in the face and I was like, so what do you do for the Fire? So stupid. He's like, oh, I'm a player. And I was like, oh my God, I'm the host of the Chicago Fire. I should know exactly who all the players are. And I feel like an idiot because I've been talking to you for 10 minutes with my wife. And now I'm asking you what you do for the Fire. So I felt like I put my foot in my mouth there. But I reached out to him afterwards, saw him at the game, and my bad, bro. I can't even believe I did that. He's like, ah, bro, it happens, you know, whatever. So yesterday, who pulls up next to me at the Chicago Bears game? Good old Chase. But a couple of other players. The Bears posted him online on their Instagram story. All 3 Chicago Fire guys were sitting right next to me. And we heard the song often, man. Bears put up 36 points today. Exactly what the Bears were 4-point favorites heading into this one. And I told everyone, here on The Score on Wednesday, BetQ, I said, when was the last time you felt good and confident about a Bears game heading into Sunday? And I'm talking about not delusional confidence like most Bears fans, you know, when we just think, oh yeah, Bears 17-0. I'm talking about like genuinely looking at the game and saying, yeah, Bears should win this game. Like handily. But if you were that confident in the Bears, you would have bet a minus 10 instead of the minus 4 that was on the line. Bears hitting the over as well. A lot of people happy at Soldier Field cashing tickets. That's all you heard about. Kate Constable, my co-host on the Better Angle on the BetQL Network, her husband Kevin, her new husband Kevin. Kate was telling me how she just laid a lot of money on that Bears game and how they ended up taking over. But a lot of people felt that way, and it was a great game for the Chicago Bears. Didn't necessarily start out the way that I would have liked. Pass that was captured by the wind by Caleb Williams. Bears looked a little too confident in that first drive, almost as if it was a matter of fact that they were going to win. But they did. They were that confident. Why? Because they kept putting points on the board, and it didn't stop. The onslaught did not stop. And it was all three phases. Defense came through, four sacks. Get the big interception from Kevin Byard. It was great. Now, once again, you almost gave up 100 yards to the running back. So that part is kind of tough. But on the opposite side, DeAndre Swift comes through. Your wide receivers come through. A lot of positives came out of this game. And Coach Eberflus talked about them at length in the post game. Can't wait for you to hear it. Here he is following the 36-10 victory against the Carolina Panthers.
Good to see everybody. Today, just got out of the locker room and really just visited with the players about the all together and playing complementary football. And that's been the focus for the last couple weeks, being able to do that. You know, complementary football is a big thing, and that's really just working off each other, right? So you saw that a lot today. At the end of the half, you saw it. Takeaways scored on those. We had three takeaways today to zero, which is a good number. We scored 16 points off of that. I thought the kicking game did a nice job of scoring points when they had to and setting field position. You know, it was windy out there today, so, you know, the punt game for sure, punting the one way was an issue. You know, kicking towards our tunnel was better. You know, so there's a lot of things that our cover teams did a nice job of as well. I was pleased with the offense, the way they operated. You know, for the offensive side, we really talked about being clean in terms of the penalties early in the game like we had last week. So the guys were operationally better there. I know it didn't start out exactly the way they wanted it, but they did well. Quarterback was clean, took one sack, had a quarterback rating of 126, and that's good quarterbacking. It just is. It's finding the completions, taking the shots down the field. We wanted to get our receivers, involved today, and we did that. Cole's been involved. Got G involved. We got everybody involved in the passing game. So I think that's really good to be able to distribute that, play point guard, and be able to do that. Hard to defend that way. So defensively, the guys that had the sacks, the 4-1 sack ratio against our opponent today is obviously big. For us, that's a big thing for us, and I thought that was really good. And some of those, we caused some takeaways, in those critical moments, and guys have done a good job with that. I was really proud of the guys that recovered those fumbles, because to get a recovered fumble, you have to be hustling the way we do it. It just doesn't show up, because we expect everybody to punch at the ball, and then when the ball comes out, that person's hustling because he anticipated that ball was going to be there. And it doesn't happen but only a couple times a game. So you have to be going, and I'm proud of the guys that way. So a couple other things, I thought the offense did a good job of using the roster, different guys in different spots. I think that's really, really good, really creative by Shane. We, we're up-tempo at times, really creative by Shane. Not necessarily snapping it fast, but being on the ball, IDing the defense. They obviously had some injuries over there at the linebacker position, so it's very hard to communicate when you have young people over there, new people in there communicating. So I thought that was good tactically by Shane. It was really good. In terms of injury, 76 was ruled out. We'll see where he is. It's an ankle. I don't know that yet. Bill Murray stepped in, did a really nice job stepping in there from what I saw. Again, I got to look at the tape, but it looked like he was physical. He was sound in there in terms of fundamentals. Matt had to go to the other side, which he did a good job with that. He had to do that last week as well. And then the ejection, Matt Pryor got ejected, and he knows he can't do that. Obviously we got to keep our water temperature to a lukewarm to hot, but not boiling. And sometimes that happens in that game. It's a physical game, and sometimes that dial starts to get turned up, and you got to be able to have self-control and turn it down. And that's all it is. It's not that big of a deal, but he knows that he's got to be better than that in that particular moment. With that, I'll take questions.
You guys talked last week about how you didn't want to take negative plays, and Caleb goes out and goes 15 for 15 for, in short range. You talked this week about, taking advantage deep when you can. He goes out and has two deep touchdown passes. Now, what's it say about his ability week by week to kind of answer the call that you guys are very clear about, both with him and to us, about what he needs to do?
Yeah, he knows that this is his first year, doing this, and he's gonna face a lot of different things, different looks, different defenses, different coverages, knowing his guys, know what he can do and can't do, but still keep everything in there where he's good quarterbacking, and he's just learning and growing, and you can see that, during the course of these games that we've had, you know, and he needs to continue to grow. He knows that. So he's just got to level up, keep leveling up. And every time we've challenged him, he's done that ever since the summer, you know, learning the offense, you know, coming back better, you know, all the way through training camp. And now the season just getting better and better every single week. And really that's just continuity, time on task, good communication with the offensive coaches, with everybody. And again, I told the guys there's just because of the score was the score today, there's a lot of things to learn from that tape. You know, the performance is the performance. The performance is over. Now, what can we take from that to get better? Let's partner up with your leaders in your unit, okay, and also your coaches to make sure that we're getting better on the things we need to get better at. And that's any case, win, lose, or draw.
What did the first touchdown do for the sideline? You know, you guys hadn't scored a lot in the first quarter. You were down quick. What did that do just emotionally?
Yeah, I think it was exciting. Our guys are pulling for each other. We got a tight group. You know, they are tight. They're always there for each other, you know, in times of adversity, in times of success, and then turning the page to the next play. And that's what they do. So they did that today.
What's your sense of the significance for DJ of capitalizing on a couple of those big opportunities to put in the end zone?
Yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, and we've seen him in practice, you know, so, you know, I always tell guys, you'll see it on the practice field before you see it in the game. And we've seen those and they've made some good connections over the last couple weeks. And we were just waiting for it and got the coverage we wanted and worked out.
I don't think we've asked you what was behind the decision to have three practices in London as opposed to their teams would go in later.
Sure.
And you know, practice at home. Why do you want to do it?
Yeah, just to get over there and get our clocks right. You know, that's a big science part of it. You know, I went to Italy this summer, and I'll tell you, it takes you a couple days to get there. So I'm all in for that. And, but yeah, that's all it was. Just the science of it. We're going to go there Wednesday. We'll go there Monday, get there Tuesday morning. The players have their day off that day, which is normal. Then they'll bring them back in on Wednesday, and we'll have a walkthrough practice to get their bodies ready to go. And then from there, we'll be normal. Business operation there. Thursday will be our normal first, second, third. Friday will be our red zone day. Saturday will be the walkthrough, and then Sunday we'll play the game.
On Swift's touchdown, he's not often your goal line back. Is that more to reward him on the 42-yard or right after the 42-yard catch?
Yeah, we just, you know, you have certain players for certain things, and we like him on that particular one. So it just comes down to the skill sets that we like for that particular operation or that particular play.
Explanation on the clipping.
What's that? Yeah, they said it was clipping. I mean, that's what they said. I mean, I got to take a look at it. I don't know that much about it right now.
When's the last time you saw a clipping?
I haven't seen that in quite some time. I haven't had players ejected like that. You know, I don't think so. You can look it up, Pat, but I don't think I have. So,
Matt, what was the reasoning for going for the 2-point?
Yeah, that was the chart. You know, it was that was it. I thought it was. I liked the idea better from the one. You know, if they would have moved it up there, but would they offset and put it back at the two? But that's what it was.
What does it mean for you guys to control a game like you did today against an opponent that you probably should control?
Well, it comes down to, it's all about us. You know, when you really think about it, it's all about us. You know, and I was proud of the guys, the way they focused in to get better, going all the way back to Monday. You know, what can we improve on? What can we get better at? You know, and how do we win this game, this particular game? So the starting fast was a big part of it. And we hit that right away with the guys, and that's execution. You know, you can't put yourself behind the sticks like we did last week, having a first and 15 and a second and longs and all that stuff. And we did a little bit of that in the second half. You know, they started out a little bit like that. You know, there's some penalties, got us behind the sticks. And it's hard to operate that way as an offense when you get those holding penalties and put you back. So, but for the most part, it was good. That was a good operation today.
Coach, you've been getting better every week. I know that's exactly what a coach has said would like to see. How satisfied have you been with the way the team is building, getting stronger?
Yeah, I said it in training camp. I trust these guys. Man, the leadership is strong. That's why I got 8 captains. I never thought I would ever do that. But, man, those guys are strong. And there's a lot of other strong leaders, you know, in each unit and the special team. So they've been building their relationship, you know, building it tight so we know we're going to go through adversity during the season. But I'm happy for the guys, the way they've operated here. And again, every week's a challenge. And so we're going to enjoy this for 24 hours, and then we're going to get to the next one.
Coach Eberflus addressing the media following the game. And I got to be honest, man, when I hear Coach Eberflus following a game, loss, victory, whatever the case might be, he is consistent. he understands that even a game like this, 36-10, you can go back and watch the tape and find out where you need to improve. Most games come down to a player or two that you feel like could have swayed things, and those you can look at and really put them under a microscope. But when you're looking at a game like this, now you can focus on the very small things to fix. And I think that's where they're at right now. 312-644-6767. Phone lines are open. A lot of things to talk about, man. As somebody from the 847 says, again, and this is the part that I understand, Carolina Panthers are horrible. Both sides of the ball. I thought they were better. The season is over. This I do understand. I get it. But would you have been pissed if the Bears won 20-13? Like, oh, this is a bad team, and they only won by a touchdown, or they only won by four. Bears blew them out. Blew them out. The game was over in the first half. People were walking around the concourse. I was at the game today. It was bad. So it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening there. But I want to play some audio for you. This is going to be coming from Cole Kmet. You know, Cole is a guy who has really embraced the role of mainstay for the Chicago Bears. What was a struggle to find consistency in his first couple of seasons with Justin Fields. Not to say that the relationship is stronger between him and Caleb, but there seems to be a level of likability. I mean, especially when Cole Kmet is saying things like this following the victory.
No, we've been taking steps every week, and I think the defense continued to play really well. Obviously, our team's units continue to play well, and then offensively, we've just been growing, and I thought that was one of the better games I've been a part of since being here, honestly. Ran the ball when we needed to really well. You know, Caleb was really effective in the pass game with the wind, and I don't think that should be looked over. It was a really tough day in the wind, and he was able to, you know, really get the ball through the air effectively doing that stuff. And, you know, that's not an easy task, especially here. So I thought that was really good, and just overall a really good football game for us.
20 for 29, Caleb Williams, 304 yards. And I'll tell you this, I just mentioned a second ago that I was at the game. When you were watching whoever was on the sideline, the players, the people from NFL Films that were, the pants of everyone was flapping. Flapping like if you were down in Tampa. Flapping, you know? And so I think Cole Kmet, when he points it out, like, hey, you cannot minimize how much the wind affected the game today. It didn't look like it, but it was windy as hell there at the game. But Cole Kmet mentions one of the best games he's been a part of. I think as Bears fans watching, we've seen this. We've seen the story come to this point where maybe last week you were like, wow, that was a pretty decent game. Bears played well on defense. Offense came through and special teams did their thing. Like, wow. And then you see him do it again where you're like, oh, wow. There's a level of consistency here that maybe you weren't anticipating this early. And the Bears have hit that stride to the point where Cole Kmet is saying this is one of the best games he's been a part of. The run game was working. DeAndre Swift, which I'll get to. I have a thought on DeAndre Swift. I'd love to get your opinion on it. But not only did the Bears run the ball well, Caleb Williams pressured on the least amount of dropbacks this entire season. You can say it's a byproduct of a terrible defensive line by the Panthers, but you got to tip your cap sometimes, right? So they ran the ball well. Caleb Williams had time in the pocket, and Cole Kmet talked about the fact that they didn't force anything specifically with the deep ball.
It was there. So, you know, I mean, sure, there were some opportunities maybe in past weeks, but I think the main thing is having that zero turnovers with the defense that we have, not forcing things. And, you know, I'm sure he'll look at some things in the tape and wish that maybe he tried some throws that he didn't try. But at the end of the day, like, he has really good awareness as to where the team's at, you know, not just forcing things just to force them. And it's important to keep those turnovers low. And if he can have zero turnovers at the end of the day as an offense, I think we'll be on the winning side of most of the games.
And that's always the recipe for success. Right, take the ball away, protect it, put points on the board. And the Bears have been able to do that. But they did that last week also, right? Caleb Williams, after throwing two interceptions, protected the ball last week. So there is something to say about, you know, building off of what you did in the past.
I think it was just building on our confidence going back to last week and what we did at the second half. And, yeah, it's just a good step forward. And I think some things that carried over and showed some consistency, and I think, you know, an identity of showing up a little bit with our ability to run the ball and being able to go up-tempo, I think was really hurting them, and something that plays to our advantage with our conditioning, and, you know, I think that's something that we can lean into throughout the season.
Love the fact that he mentioned the up-tempo offense that they were running in the middle of the game, because it's something that Caleb was asked for. And so Shane Waldron understanding, hey, you know, I might not have as much time. I got to get this, got to have these plays ready to roll. I got to know where I'm going with this offense and what I want it to look like. And he did a great job yesterday. And Caleb's did a great job as well. And I think not only is Caleb Williams learning, I try to emphasize often, if I were to ask you today that Seahawks lost to the Giants today, tough game, watch that one. But if I asked you who the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks is right now, Tyler, we asked this question last week, and we still don't know who the offensive coordinator of the Seattle Seahawks is. My point is that Shane Waldron wasn't under the same level of scrutiny in Seattle as he is here in Chicago.
No, I was just going to say, I technically do know who the OC for the Seahawks is.
Who is it?
His name is Ryan Grubb.
Oh, geez. Nobody would know that.
He was Washington's offensive coordinator in college football last year.
Oh, really?
He actually accepted the job in Alabama, went with Kalen DeBoer, then a month later left for the Seahawks.
Look at that. He said, I'm done with Michael Penix. I'm done with Roma Dunze. I got to go. I got to get to the NFL.
NFL.
My point is, though, the scrutiny level is not the same. So Shane Waldron himself, although he's been an offensive coordinator in the NFL at a high level, coaching Geno Smith to a comeback player of the year situation, it's a different beast here in Chicago. And so not only does Shane Waldron have to be a quick learner with the people that are around him, you know, Cole Kmet talked about, you know, Caleb Williams being that quick learner. And it's interesting to hear him say that because he is not a guy that's only had one quarterback, right? He's had multiple now. He understands the differences. And so when he throws out a compliment like this about Caleb Williams, you have to listen.
He's just a really good quick learner. And it's not easy, especially at this level. And I just think it shows his willingness to get better each and every week. Obviously, he has the talent to be one of the best in the league. But he's done a good job of being patient with himself in a certain regard, but also having, you know, that fire on him where he feels the heat a little bit, where he knows he needs to get better at certain things. And there was things today that collectively that we all can be better at. And but his command of the offense has just grown each and every week, and even a lot faster than I even anticipated to this point. Well, I mean, it's hard not to get frustrated when you don't when things aren't clicking exactly how you want them to right away. And but I think he understands this is a process, and there's a lot to learn here. And he's just done a good job every day coming in the building and doing what he has to do in order to get better for the team. And there's a lot more to that than just in the pass game. I think him understanding fronts and, you know, where the down safeties are at for our run scheme, I mean, that's so big time, getting us in the right run checks. And he's just been better and better that every week.
Cole Kmet talking about and giving high praise to Caleb Williams, as he should. Cole Kmet coming through today, 3 catches, 57 yards. Had that one long one for 26. He mentioned how windy it was. And I tried to highlight that, in fact, it was extremely windy at the stadium. But listen to Cole Kmet talk about that pass from his vantage point. And we know Cole Kmet does the home run celebration, so it's only fitting that he uses a baseball analogy.
The 25-yard catch, I think, that you made on the sideline, how close was that play to being a touchdown if you return?
Yeah, well, that was tough. Just, again, the wind. Yeah, the wind really pushed that thing. I don't think he meant to put that as a back shoulder because there was no one in front. But, yeah, so, like, the back shoulder throw kind of took me towards the sideline a little bit. But I was just so focused on catching that ball. It was the wind was really whistling out there today. And
could you see the ball?
Like, yeah, it was like a slider coming at you. So I've caught a few of those in my day. So, yeah, I was used to that. But, yeah, the wind was pretty intense out there, and I think that's why they struggle with throwing the ball as well. So, but he does a, I mean, when he throws the ball well, his spiral is able to really cut through the wind nicely. But there's some throws with the distance on them that the wind's going to take it over eventually at some point.
But you got to have good hands, and Cole Kmet certainly had that. It was a great catch, put the Bears in a position to ultimately lead to a DJ Moore touchdown, a strike by Caleb Williams. Just a great day by the offense overall. Certainly looked capable. And if you're talking to Phil a little bit earlier, he says it doesn't matter. But that could, is that the case for you? 312-644-6767. This game mattered to me. The victory felt good. And I am confident in saying, even though it was the Panthers, I can envision the Bears playing a playoff game this year. Can you? Let's take some phone calls, man. Let's talk about this Bears victory. 312-644-6767. More calls on the other side. And we'll hear from Caleb Williams himself. Don't go anywhere. It's Gabe Ramirez ready to talk to you right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.